Walking into his quarters on board the Daedalus, John Shepherd grunted in surprise as he was grabbed suddenly and pinned to the wall. Lips descended on his, and a tongue tasting of raspberry slipped into his mouth. Letting himself relax into the kiss, John frowned slightly when Rodney McKay pulled away. "It's perfect!" Rodney exclaimed. "Where did you find it? And how did you sneak it on board without me seeing? I mean, you're Atlantis's ranking military officer, and that has to have some perks, but this... totally unexpected." John looked at Rodney in confusion. "Not that I'm objecting to this," he said, rolling his hips forward slightly and pressing himself against an answering hardness in Rodney's trousers, "but I have no idea what you're talking about." "Of course you don't, John," Rodney smirked as he leaned down and swiped his tongue over the side of John's neck. John groaned as Rodney's lips moved over his skin, barely touching. Seriously. Rodney ignored him and continued his attack on John's vulnerable neck. "Rodney, stop!" The lips against his neck froze and Rodney pulled back, looking at him. "The chocolate model of the solar system?" John shook his head. "With Neptune as dark chocolate-covered raspberry cream?" John shook his head again, although that at least explained the sweet taste of Rodney's mouth. Rodney frowned as he moved and looked over at the desk. "Well, if it wasn't you, who was it?" John followed Rodney's gaze to find what appeared to be a two-scale model of the solar system with each planet rendered in a different variety of chocolate. "I take it that's Neptune," he commented, nodding towards the planet with a chunk taken out of it. Rodney ignored him, walking over to the desk and picking up a card. "It came with this." He held the card out, waiting until John took it from him. "For my beloved, you are sweeter than all the planets put together." John grimaced as he put the card back on the desk. "And you thought I sent that?" He didn't know what to be offended about more, that someone had sent Rodney a dire imitation of a cheesy Hallmark card, or the fact that Rodney had thought it was from him. Rodney pulled his hand away from the inner raspberry cream of Neptune. "Well, who else knows that getting me chocolate makes me hornier than hell?" John grinned. "I didn't send it, Rodney, but I'm more than happy to take advantage." Rodney rolled his eyes. "You always are," he muttered, eyes not leaving John's as he swept his fingers back through Neptune and offered them to his lover. Sliding his lips over Rodney's fingers, he sucked the sweet pink stickiness off the digits in his mouth. "So," he smirked, nipping Rodney's fingers with his teeth before he let them slip away. "If I ask if I can nibble on Uranus, will you let me?" Rodney grinned as he grabbed John's hand and pulled him over to the bed. "Absolutely." Back in his room, Hermiog grumbled. He had sent his beloved a gift, and now that man was reaping the benefits. Setting the camera in his beloved's room to record, Hermiog turned back to the book in front of him. "According to Earth traditions, there were 101 ways to woo your man, and Hermiod had only just started." Part 4. "Rodney, you..." John Shepherd's words were cut off by the sneeze that racked his body as he opened the door to Rodney McKay's quarters. Wriggling his nose, he stepped further into the room and was assaulted by the overpowering smell of the flowers that covered every surface. "Rodney," he called, part of him expecting his lover to dive out of the foliage wearing only a loincloth. John paused at the thought and grinned. "Rodney," he called again, a hint of lust colouring his tone. Silence met him, and John was just about to head to the lab to track down his errant scientist when the door to his quarters opened and Rodney walked in, accompanied by Taylor and Kate Heitmeyer. "Are you sure you don't mind, Rodney?" Kate was asking. "Please," Rodney replied, his nose twitching. "For the love of chocolate, take as many as you want." "What's going on?" John asked, watching as both Kate and Taylor gathered up armfuls of flowers and disappeared out the door. "I have no idea," Rodney answered. "I came back from the lab to get something and walked into the botanical garden from hell." He dejectedly poked a purple flower and made it sway. "I've been giving flowers away since I found them, and I still haven't made a dent in them." "So, where did they come from?" John kept his suspicion about a short, naked grey rat to himself. "After all, it might just be a coincidence that this was happening while the Daedalus was in dock." Rodney looked at him. "If I knew that, Colonel, I'd be halfway to getting rid of them." John sighed silently. When Rodney called him Colonel outside of missions, it either meant kinky sex or no sex. Unfortunately, John didn't think it was going to be the first. "Come on," he said. "We can leave presents of them outside people's doors." If he helped Rodney get rid of them, maybe he would go back from being a "get your hand away from there, Colonel," to a "oh God, yes, harder, Colonel." Besides, he spent more time here than he did in his own quarters, and he really didn't fancy turning up for the next mission briefing, smelling like he'd bathed in Lily of the Valley. He picked up some of the flowers closest to him. "Are you coming?" But Rodney wasn't paying attention. His eyes were fixed on his hand, where an Athosian bee was wiggling its behind. "Don't move," John said, putting the flowers down. "Not moving," Rodney replied. "Absolutely not moving." John stepped forward, reaching a hand out to carefully brush the bee from Rodney's hand, when the bee suddenly stopped wiggling and plunged its stinger into Rodney's flesh before flying off through the open balcony doors. Rodney's eyes met his. "John?" The word was forced, breathy.
"I..."
And then he pitched forward. "Rodney!" John grabbed Rodney as he fell, calling for Beckett on the comm as he carefully lowered him to the ground. Pulling an ever-present EpiPen out of his pocket, John yanked the cap off with his teeth and spat it across the room. Fingers grasped at his arm as John pulled Rodney's T-shirt up and jammed the pen into the exposed skin. Throwing the empty EpiPen to the floor, John ran his fingers through Rodney's hair. "Breathe with me," he murmured, thanking a god he didn't believe in any more, when Rodney's ragged breath finally evened out.
"John?"
"Shh, I'm here," he replied quietly, his fingers continuing to gently run through Rodney's hair until Beckett finally arrived. Hermiod reached out and turned off the monitor that he'd managed to patch into Atlantis's security system. When he transported the flowers from the mainland into his beloved's room, he hadn't thought to scan them for life forms. Taking "woo them with flowers" off the list, he looked at the next suggestion in the book. After all, that man might have his beloved now, but Hermiod was sure it was only a matter of time.